Hi, and welcome back to our broadcast. I'm Brian Likens, and this week I was watching on one of the social media sites. I was flipping through, they have these little shorts that go on, and it's hard to stop watching them. But as I was flipping through, I saw this short clip of an episode of Judge Caprio, who does similar to Judge Judy, and he was talking to a man who had parking tickets, and he had over 101 parking tickets. So it began to intrigue me, like, what's going on with this? And when as he began to talk to the man, he began to ask him about how he's in this situation. And we'll come to find out the man was homeless, and he was working, had a job, but things were, being homeless, he was trying to get things back in order. And so he wasn't able to pay the parking tickets at the time. And so all these things were going on, and the judge began to ask him about his family. Don't you have anybody that can help you or to stay with? And come to find out he was adopted, and his adopted mother had passed away. And the family members, the brothers and sisters of that family, no longer treated him like family after the mother had gone. They didn't see him as family anymore. He was only treated that way while the mother was there, but they didn't accept him. They didn't see him that way. So he said, Judge, I literally have no family left. And so the judge began to have compassion on him and mercy. And in the judge's wife's name, they have a fund that he helps people, and people send money and donate. And he told the man, he said, look, I'm going to pay your fine out of this. And he introduced him to someone else who had a foundation for helping people that are struggling with cancer. And he also was adopted and was in foster care. And so they connected, and the man said he's going to help him to find his birth father and try to reconnect with some family. And as I began to watch that, my heart began to break, because there's so many people that don't have a family. They have no one to turn to. They don't have someone to call upon, or they don't feel like they're wanted or accepted really anywhere. So they're out there dealing with things in life by themselves. And as the judge was treating this man, I began to see how God treats, the people look at God as a judge. They look at him only as passing down the penalty for sin, passing down correction, and passing down the law, and that you don't do this, and if you do, you're going to get slammed or you're going to get punished. And that's how they see God. But this, as Frank Caprio was set there as a judge, he had the right to pass out the penalty of the entire law. He had the right to tell this man, you have to pay every last penny. But instead, he showed mercy and grace, and he paid the debt for this man. And that was an image, that was an illustration or an image of our Heavenly Father, who, yes, he is a judge, but he's full of goodness and mercy and grace. That's who he is. God has to be a judge, because if there wasn't law, if there wasn't accountability, then the world would be in chaos. The world would literally crumble in on itself, all of mankind, all the things that would be going on. If there wasn't something to stop the evil, if there wasn't something to put people in check and to say, you cannot cross this line, you can't do this, you can't treat someone this way, you can't take from someone just because you want what they have. It's not right. So there has to be laws, there has to be a accountability put in place. But as I begin to watch that show, and then there was another episode, I'm literally in tears watching this. And then I see another episode with a young lady that was in a similar situation. She had her car locked up with a boot on it where she couldn't drive it. And the judge was really upset because she was back in there again, and he was getting ready. She had even told him a story of what she was going through, and that her grandmother had passed away, and her life was just full in just disarray, and she was trying to take care of her brother, and her parents were gone, and she was just got an apartment by herself, and all these things, and she's trying to get back on her feet and do these things, and he was so upset with her, he dismissed the part that she had lost her grandmother. He said, I have sympathy for that, but you're going to pay this, because she had been in there before, and he'd shown mercy to her, and he had cut her bill way down, like in half, and gave her a payment plan, and she didn't pay, and she didn't call, and she didn't do anything, and now she's back in front of him again. But what the judge didn't realize as she began to leave and he had passed the sentence on her that she was going to pay everything, what she had before, and then a new fine. And the judge said, the bailiffs told the judge, said, "Judge, she's not in here because her car is locked up again. She's in here to take care of the first incident." And so the judge looked at it and said, "What?" He said, I didn't see that." And he began to apologize to the young lady and begin to say, "I thought you were back in here again after I had shown you favor, but you're coming in here to take care of, on your free will, on your own, to take care of what you hadn't taken care of previously." And she said, "Yes, Judge." And then the judge began to show more mercy and began to tell her, he said, "Look, I'm going to do this for you. You've shown that you're trying, and I know that you've been through a hard time, and you've come back in here to make sure that what you hadn't taken care of was taken care of. You were in a tough time, but now you're stepping up to do what you can do to make this right." And he said, I'm gonna take the $75 payment that you were gonna do, and I'm going to make it $25. And if you do it for 8 weeks, we'll cancel the debt and you're free." And the judge even showed more mercy. And I thought, man, God, you are so awesome and good. And as you look at a natural man and a natural judicial system or a natural court, I think about our Heavenly Father in the high court and who's governing the world, and that all the world one day will be judged by Him. But God is so much more merciful than Frank Capra. God is so much more merciful, and His love and compassion for people, His love that He has expressed through Jesus Christ for all mankind to give mercy and grace and goodness. And many times people will hear me say that in our broadcast every time I pray or I open up, "Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace." That is our Heavenly Father. And I'm gonna take you into Exodus chapter 34, where the law was passed down to Moses. And I want to read a few scriptures to you, and then we'll go on into this. But let me go ahead and start with prayer. Father, we thank you today, Lord, again, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, the compassion that you've shown mankind, the compassion that you have poured out on all men, Lord, not just some, but you've poured it out upon the entire world. Lord, that as many as would that would come to you, as many as possible that would believe on the one that you sent, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we're so grateful for what you've done and how you've made provision and you've made a way for us to have eternal life. And Father, today we thank you, Lord God, that your goodness, your mercy, your grace doesn't fade away. And you're a far better, Lord God, far better than any judge in this world. And your mercy and your compassion toward people is far greater. And we thank you, Lord God, for helping people to see the truth of who you are. The Holy Spirit, I ask you to open up their spiritual eyes to see the Father. I ask you to enlighten their heart and stir up on the inside of them to see the truth of who our Heavenly Father is. Holy Spirit, to overshadow them, and people that have a bad image of God or think that God is only out to get them. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal today in the name of Jesus, a seed be planted on the inside of them that will sprout and will grow and that will produce life. And Father, we thank you in the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus. So I want to start out in actually in Exodus chapter 33. This is where Moses is going up on the mountain, and the Lord has called him up onto the mountain, and Moses is going up there, and as he's going up to the mountain or on the mountain, he says to the Lord, he says, verse 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you..." Sorry, let me back up here. Let me go to... I'd have to read the whole thing. Let me start in 11. "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." I'm reading in the Amplified Translation, chapter 33, 11. "Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.'" This is what the Lord said about Moses. "Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight," Moses said, "show me now your way that I may know you progressively, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you. perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, and that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, don't carry us up from here. I don't want to go if your presence isn't there. For by what shall it be known that I, your people, have found favor in your sight? It is not in your going with us so that we are distinguished, and your people from all other people upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, and mercy in my sight, and I know you personally and by name. And Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. And he said, I've got a split version here, King James and Amplified, verse 20. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place beside me, and you shall stand upon the rock or hide in the cleft of the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And then he goes on to say, the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which you broke. Be ready and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let flocks or herd feed before the mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose up early in the morning and went up on the Mount Sinai. And the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and trespasses and sins, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, when you hear this, you think, wait a minute, the Lord is saying he's full of mercy and he's full of kindness. In the New Living Translation, it said the Lord, verse 6, it said the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. So what God is saying is, he said, I am a judge, but I am full of love and mercy and compassion. And I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. And I forgive iniquity and rebellion and sin, but I don't excuse the guilty. Wait a minute. I thought you just said you forgive iniquities. God is saying, I forgive iniquity when there is repentance and when someone turns, but just because there is forgiveness doesn't mean that everybody who wants to do or live any way they want to live, they can go out and do that and not have accountability and not be punished. God is saying, because I forgive, because I'm have unfailing love and I'll forgive 1,000 generations, doesn't mean that that whatever happens is okay and everyone can live however they want to live and it's all fine. It's all okay. God is saying the guilty I will not let by. So who do you think, aren't we all guilty because of transgression? Jesus Christ came and paid the price for us all. All who submit themselves to him, who surrender to him and fall upon his mercy and grace, and their heart is changed. When you come to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, your heart no longer is selfish. You may deal with selfishness, but it's no longer self-living. It's no longer living for only you. All of a sudden, life be changes. All of a sudden, things begin to open up. The grass looks greener. The trees look different. You have compassion toward people you didn't have compassion before. all of a sudden there's a change on the inside of you. You became a new creature. God is saying that his unfailing love is to 1,000 generations, but I will not let evil go unpunished. We are forgiven through what Christ did. And so our transgressions were paid at the cross. But if we live without Christ, if we live without God, if we do this life on our own and say, I don't need you, I don't need what you have, I don't need the price you paid, I'm fine by myself, I'll live my life the way I want to live it, and I'll do to anybody I want to do, that God is saying, I will not let the guilty go unpunished. He's letting us, you say, but he let us go unpunished? No, he didn't, because there was someone punished. That was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He took the punishment for us. And he actually took the punishment for the entire world. But those that reject what God has given, the sacrifice that God made, those that reject the plan of salvation and choose to live their life apart from God and not acknowledge God. And many people have so much trouble with this because they think, well, there's people all over the world that believe in so many different things. But God himself has made a way and provision for the entire world to know him. He does not cut someone off because they didn't have a chance or they didn't know. God only rejects those that have rejected him. God only rejects those that have had the opportunity to know and have turned from him. Listen, God knows the heart of man. God knows the innermost parts of every human being. And God is not evil. And people think, well, you know, if God is only picking a certain people, or he's only saying, if you follow after me, then what happens to all the rest of the world? God has made a way for everyone in this earth to have life, eternal life, and be in the kingdom of heaven. God made provision enough that if every person on this earth would have turned to him and would have repented and would have called upon his name, if every person would have submitted themselves to him and just said, Father God, we'll serve you and we repent. We cannot do this on our own. You are the one. You're the one that did it all. If people would have had a humble heart and turned to God, God made provision for every person that has ever lived to be in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. The kingdom of heaven is big enough to house every soul and spirit that has ever walked on this earth. God made provision for that. There's going to be a lot more room for us because many people turn away and many people refuse to fall upon God's mercy and his grace. They would rather live their life selfishly and live their life to themselves without accountability. But there is accountability to us all. And if you're going to be accountable to somebody, wouldn't you want to be accountable to the God of mercy and justice and grace, the God of love who's full of compassion? I would rather fall upon the mercy of a judge like that than to have to stand before him and say, I lived my life the way I did, and I'm not ashamed of it. And if whatever punishment comes my way, then you divvy it out. You know, there's so many people that are so proud that they think they're going to stand before God, and they're just going to say, give me the best shot. Whatever you think you can do, do it. Listen, God doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to be lost for all of eternity. God, the worst part about hell is being separated from God. That's the worst. Yeah, it is the way the Bible describes it. It is full of torment and anguish, but the most torment and anguish is knowing that you will never get to spend another moment in the presence of God. You'll never get to be in his presence. You'll never get to stand in his place. Whatever you're doing, your life, how you live right now on this earth is going to affect all of eternity. And God is a God of mercy and grace. He's full of compassion. He's full of the loving kindness that he poured out through Jesus Christ. So all of these things that we're seeing in the earth, there are things that are going on. It will not go unpunished. Evil will not go unpunished because God is a forgiver of iniquity and sin. God has forgiven, but the price that was paid, he's paid the price to all who would come to him and would believe, to all who would fall upon that mercy and turn from their wicked ways. But to those who are too proud or too arrogant or to fall upon his mercy will stand before him trying to justify their life before the God who is never done wrong, the God who is full of love, the God who is full of grace, and the God who is the only one that is truly just, knows all, and who has created all. This God that we're going to stand before, this is who he was showing to Moses. I am a God of unfailing love. This is who I am. But I'm also a judge. When I go back to thinking of Judge Caprio and how he had the opportunity to pass down the, he could have been without feeling, without emotion, without compassion, and he could have just passed the sentence and said, this is what the law says. You say what you want to say. It's an excuse. Doesn't matter. You did the crime. You do the time. You do the crime. You pay the penalty. This is the penalty for it. He could have been emotionless and without any feeling or mercy or grace. And how much more does our Heavenly Father have more mercy and grace than we do? You know, many of us think, well, I'm pretty merciful. I'm pretty gracious. I try to help people. Listen, God is far more merciful and gracious than we are. And his love that he has poured out upon all mankind is for the purpose of bringing them into a place of love and compassion and a life of goodness and grace and mercy for all eternity. It's not to cause anyone to be turned away. The price that was paid when Jesus went to the cross, he did it for the entire world so that not one person would have to be separated from God. No one has to be separated from God for all eternity. But the only way to receive that is to go through what Christ did, what God, the plan that God made, the plan of salvation. And that's why it's so important that we share the good news, that we share the gospel, that the gospel is preached so that everyone hears. And when they hear, maybe people say, well, what if they don't understand it? There's so many excuses. Listen, the heart of God put in creation, he put in the creation itself the acknowledgement of who he is, that when people look out and they see that there is a God, on the inside, they know that there is a God. There is, this world could not be the way it is without something greater. There, everybody always said, well, I believe in a higher power. I believe everyone knows that there's more to what we see on this earth. There's more to this life than the little minute things that we see. The expanse, and as they begin to look through space, and they begin to are able to see further and further and further, and they see how great the expanse of our universe is, and they know that it continues, and how far does it continue? And they keep, the more they look, the more they see, the more they look, the more they find, bigger and bigger and bigger and greater and greater. God is so good and so awesome, and the plan that he has made, the preparation that he has made, is for all to be saved. But all won't be saved because they won't all receive. But when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is shared, the Holy Spirit enlightens the heart of man. And at that moment is the moment of choice of whether I would receive or reject. You know, I remember when I was a child and I heard the gospel preached, and I in my heart was touched. And I thought, I want to know God. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want to know that person that gave his life for me. I want to get saved. And on the inside of me, it lit up, and I knew that I wanted a relationship with God. At the moment of that opportunity, the moment that message was ministered in my understanding, and I was 7 years old, but I knew that that's the life I wanted. I wanted to be a part of that, the gospel message. I wanted that to be in my life. I wanted a relationship with God. And I knew at that moment when my heart lit up and I realized that I needed him, even as a young boy, I couldn't do this without God. God has made provision for all mankind, and he is good, and he is mercy. Let me read this last, I'm going to read this in the Message translation in verse 7, 34-7. Loyal in love for, let me go to 6. God passed in front of him and called out, God, God, a God of mercy and grace, endless, patient, so much love, so deeply true, loyal in love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Still, he doesn't ignore sin. He holds sons and grandsons responsible for a father's sins to the third and even the fourth generation. And sometimes that sounds conflicting, but you know what? What we do, God is not holding my sins. If I've they're under the blood of Jesus and they're forgiven. He's not holding them to my grandchildren, but choices that we make on this earth, choices that we make to live and to do, it carries out, it will affect our children. It will affect our grandchildren. The laws that are passed in our nation, choices that we make to live and how we're going to live or how we're going to treat people, it passes on from our children to our grandchildren all the way down to the fourth generation. It will affect their life. None of us are an island that are live by themselves. What we do and how we treat people passes on and goes on to another, and it affects family after family after family. So it is important how we live our life and what we do and the choices that we make. And thank God there's forgiveness and there's repentance and forgiveness and there is restoration. And God is so good and great at restoration. He is so good at taking our mistakes and turning them around. He's so good at taking what we failed at and saying, you messed up and you blew it, but watch me work. You failed and you messed up, but watch me turn this around. Watch me move for you. Let me go ahead and end this prayer. God is good, He's merciful, and He's full of grace. And He is a good and just God. And all that He wants is for people to come to know Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship You today, and we thank You for moving and working in people's lives. And Lord, if there are people that are listening to this and they're struggling with knowing who You are or thinking, having an image of You as just a judge, Lord, I pray today that their eyes are opened up to see that You are full of mercy and compassion. And that God, that Your love for them is so great that no matter what they do or what they've gone through or what they've done, that Your love, Lord God, covers a multitude of sins. Your love has already wiped away and forgiven them. And all they have to do is humble themselves and come before You. Fall upon Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. You said in Your word that anyone that calls upon You will not be put to shame. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All we have to do is come to You and call upon Your name and receive what You have already done for us. And Lord, we thank You for moving and working on people's lives, working and moving in their situation, helping them to come up out of a dark place and to stand and to live as righteous people, Lord God, saved by the grace and the mercy and the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank You in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.